Man, what a beautiful time. And it's really unique. I met with Jamie and really had a great time with her. And she just got to this point in her life where she's like, man, I've lived my life the way I thought was best, and it didn't turn out well for me. And so she got to this point where she's like, man, Jesus is either real or not. And she chooses that he is real, and she gave her life to him. And it's really a reason why I could have forgotten the baptism today is because I have been dreading having to speak this sermon all week. But you need to understand something. I'm going to talk about something that the church has in America has absolutely abused for many, many years. And so I want to lay some things straight. So listen, if this is your first time here, just know I don't talk about this. In fact, I rarely do. And it was our leadership that's like, hey, you need to speak about this. Okay, now hear me on this. I'm not trying to get your money today. We're not going to pass the plates again. Can I get an amen? Amen? But we need to talk about why we give. Because a lot of people don't understand or they've been taught wrong on why we give. Okay? Now hear me on this. This is another reason why. This is my disclaimer. It's my disclaimer so everybody sees it on Facebook so nobody can say something bad about it. It's funny that God says do this sermon now because I drive a 2008 Suburban. It's got 287,000 miles. I was trying to get it to 300. But she's wobbling and shaking up a little bit now. So I am probably going to, because I worked hard and saved up some money, going to get a new vehicle. And the last thing I need is people coming up going, yeah, 2 weeks ago he talked to us about giving. Now he's got a new vehicle. Not the intent at all. And the reason why I hate talking about this is because there's been so many opinions and so many things that have been abused in talking about giving. So I want to clear some of the absolute foolishness. You don't give so that God doesn't hurt you. You don't give so the devil doesn't come and get you. That's fear. God does not operate in fear. Can I get an amen? Amen? Know this. The most important thing in the church for a Christian is not giving. And right now, if there's pastors that are watching this, I'm going to get letters. It's not the main thing. It's a part of the main thing. But here's what the main thing is. And we learn this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Listen to this one. If I give all I have to the poor, and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. So hear me before you even go any further. The most important thing in a Christian's life is love. Period. That's what God is seeking. That's what God is giving. He is giving love. So know that when we give, it should be out of love, not obligation. Right? So hear me on this. As we talk about this today, we're going to have to come to some real understanding for our own life. We have to get to a point to where we want to have all of what God is calling us to be. We can't pick and choose, right? Even though in America, we do that a lot. We pick the scripture we want, and we use it as a tool, and we take it out of context. We take the Bible stories and we take it out of context. I just went through an extensive Hebrews study and with some friends of mine, and it is amazing how Scripture is alive and moving. And so I want all that God has for me, but I want to be obedient in all God requires of me. So know this, we're not asking for a building fund. We're not asking to raise money for a specific thing or anything like that. Like I said, I'm not here for your money, but I'm here for you to understand. If you'll notice out there, we got a parking lot. Well, we got dirt. And it used to have a lot of holes. But an individual from this church who works with people that do patches paid that person extra to come up and patch up our church. It's a beautiful thing. But know this, it's not required. Because God is not going to sit there and say, I'm going to kill you if you don't give. That's what the mafia does. Right? And understand, God's not the mafia. God doesn't go, well, if you don't pay this month, I don't know if I can protect you. Right? And he's also not a stockbroker. A lot of people believe, man, if I give God money, I'm going to get a bunch back. Now, hold on. There's some truth to that. But do not give with the motive of, all right, Lord, give me return on my money. And a lot of pastors confess that and they declare that if you give to us, God's going to give you a lot of money. Don't give to God to get things of the world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, and then we also have this. Well, how much should you give? Well, if I was a good pastor, I'd like to see every one of your W-2s. And I'll determine how much you're to give, which I can't do that because I know some of you have been messing with your W-2s too, right? Here's the point. It's not about money. It's about gratitude. It's about being grateful for what God has given us. And right now, you may sit there and say, Pastor, you don't know how hard it is in my life. I am poor. Sir, ma'am, let me just be honest with you. You live in America. You're not poor. Are there people that don't have? Absolutely. And should they be helped by those who have? Absolutely. But let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor? There's also a mentality that comes into play. The mentality of those who are rich, I want more. Or I want more than that person. Those who are poor, mentality of poor, listen to this, is a lot of us in here. That's not for me. I've always lived this way. It's how I was raised, and it's always going to be. And my thing is, you can get out of the hole. And I'll explain it to you here in a second. But I want to go back to the very beginning offering, the first offering that was ever given before God. Now, hear me on this. There's something you need to understand. Before the fall of man, there was no need for offering. Before we sinned, there was no need for offering because back then, before Adam and Eve, they lived in the presence of God. It says they walked with him during the cool of the day. They didn't even have clothes on because they didn't know they were naked. That's a terrible visual. They didn't need shelter because there was no fear. They didn't need food because they just plucked it off the tree. And I don't think it was fruits and vegetables only. Maybe there was a ham sandwich tree. I'm praying that there's a calzone tree. To where you come up and knock on it. Oh, that one's good. And it's hot. Oh, this is good. That's how God provided. He gave them everything they needed. But then what happened? Greed came in. The lies that they are not understanding everything. The serpent manipulated Eve and Adam and they ate of the fruit. And next thing you know, they understood the knowledge of good and evil. And because sin had been born into them, now there's death. Instead of having food offered to you, you got to grow it. You got to tend to the animals to make the food. God was so wonderful to us that even when they sinned, he said, I will provide for you. But I want you to give me a portion back. Because I don't want it to rule over you. So look at what happens. Adam and Eve sinned. They have two kids, Cain and Abel. And here's where we pick up. It says, now Abel kept flocks. This is in Genesis chapter 4. And Cain worked the soil. So that means Abel handled the animals and Cain grew the food. Okay? It says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering. Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is not right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Here comes Cain with an offering. He brings some fruits that he grew. "Here, Lord, this is for you." Abel comes and he brings the fat, the best part of the firstborn of his flock. It cost him. He gave God the best that he had, saying, "Thank you for providing." Notice the difference. You need an offering? Here's some fruit. Abel, you need an offering? You deserve my best. There's a heart of gratitude versus a heart of obligation. That's where we mess up. And a lot of times, American churches today, they try to get you obligated into giving. And the sad thing about it is that giving is a form of worship. And it's beautiful. It's not a bill. It shouldn't be an obligation. Well, then you sit there and you go, "Well, Pastor, you're trying to get more money." I'm not trying to get your money. In fact, I don't even want to be here talking about this right now. But we have to know what God desires. Can I get an amen? Amen. So from this point, you have Abel who gave what cost him. So here's the most valuable thing in our culture today: money. And I like the wise ones. "No, it's time." No, it's when usually you run out of time that it becomes very valuable. But we've all needed money. Now let me ask you this question. Are you and I good stewards of our money? I mean, none of us are. We're Americans. We're consumers. That's why they have commercials. Do you think they're doing Mercedes commercials in the cheapest, the poorest parts of Africa? Man, those guys can't even ride a camel, right? They're walking everywhere they go. So they bring it to America. They bring it to the place where all the money is. And unfortunately, listen to me, the church has done the same. And I would like to say on behalf of all churches, forgive us. It's not what God intended. For what God intended was what he required from the very beginning. Now, let me explain this to you. There is a tenth, right? And that's in the Old Testament. Here's where we got that. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and God promised each tribe a portion of land. And one of those tribes was called Levites. They were the priests of God. They served the other 11 tribes. So when God divvied up the land to the tribes, he gave land to each tribe until he got to the Levites, the last tribe. And here's what he told the Levites. "You get nothing." I'm sorry, but if I'm a part of that Levite tribe, you gave everybody else land, you're not going to give us anything? He said, "I am your portion." And then he required the other 11 tribes to give a tenth of what they would get to the Levites to supply for them. That's where we get that. Okay? And understands, and there's a lot of other scriptures. Hear me on this. I'm not trying to get into theological debate. There's a lot of other scriptures that say, if you give, God will overflow. He will return to you with more than what you give. There's reality to that. There's truth in that. But that's not the main reason why we give. Can I get an amen? So from this point, you have to understand that God requires you to give. Why? Why do I need to give to God? Does God need that money? It's not like God's, you know, on his cell phone. "Man, we're low. We're low on our account. We're going to need to get them to double up." I know. Start a building fund. No, he doesn't. Money's nothing to God. In fact, scripture tells us that the streets in heaven are paved with what? Gold. What do our animals do on our pavement here? In heaven, you wear it around your neck. It doesn't mean anything to him, but what is so important to God is obedience, devotion, love. Not out of any obligation except to say, thank you, God. I tithe. I give. And a lot of theologians would say, well, why would a pastor have to give, right? The pastor shouldn't give. I give, but and I don't care if I'm required to or not. I need to. I need to give because it keeps my heart pure to tell God, thank you. Because, man, if I just focus on having more money, guess what I want? More money. If I focus on, man, I ain't got enough money, then guess what I'll never have? Not enough. Instead of just saying, you know what, today, Lord, thank you. Where I am right now, can anybody tell me what happened to Cain and Abel after they offered their offerings? Cain killed Abel. Why did he kill him? Jealousy, fear, anxiety. He didn't like that God liked his stuff and not our stuff. We do the same today. In fact, what drives our economy is the spirit of comparison. Ooh, I don't have what they have. Or if they do have a lot more than us, are we not critical of them? Right? Instead of saying, Lord, that's awesome, they got that. Lord, that's awesome, they got that. But I just want to thank you for what I have right here. I want to thank you, Lord, for my 2008 Suburban that's got 287,000 miles on it that knocks every time it goes into second gear. It's fun. It's fun. And I will polish it. I will clean it. I will wax it down. Thank you, Lord. Now, here we go. I want to read a scripture out of Proverbs. This is an individual that wrote to the Lord. And you want to talk about somebody who trusts the Lord? Listen to this. This is awesome. The writer says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me an amen.
Amen.
He said, give me neither poverty nor riches. But give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. That is somebody who's done business with God, who knows themselves enough that they say, Lord, don't let me win that lottery. Amen. Some of y'all have them scratch-offs. I hope you don't win. We'll never see you again. Right? And let's just be honest with ourselves. I hear this all the time. No, Pastor, you don't understand. If I got all that money, I wouldn't change. Yeah, you would. I don't need the riches. I need you. So just you and I, you give me what I need today. Let me be grateful for what I have today. And when I give, may it be gratitude from what you've given me to say, thank you. Thank you. You may be asking, Pastor Travis, well, how much am I supposed to give, right? And I'm here to tell you it's a responsibility between you and God. The question is not how much do you give? The question is, are you being faithful in what God is calling you to give? I don't care the amount. In fact, there's a story in the Bible where back in the day at the church, they used to take offerings by putting a basket up here at the front, and they'd let everybody come up front in front of everybody and give their offering. So some people would show out. Keep in mind, back then they had coins. They didn't do the fold money. They didn't write the checks. They didn't Venmo. Cash App. Whatever. So they would come up, and there'd be an individual would come up with a whole bag of money and go pour it out into the bucket so everybody would see how much they're giving. And they would compete. Oh, look how much he's giving. Oh, look how much he's giving. The whole time the priests are like, yeah. Sorry. But then here comes this woman, a widow. She's broke. And she brings in two coins that is worth about half a cent. And she places it in the offering. Scoffers are like, that doesn't even matter. Jesus sees this, grabs his disciples and says, everybody look at me, you need to learn something today. This woman has given more than anybody else today. Because she gave out of her poverty, out of obedience and gratitude, not out of her abundance. And my Father sees her more than anybody else. I wish I could tell you we're a very rich church. We got millions stacked up. We're not that church. We are, like everybody else, living paycheck to paycheck. In fact, I was talking about this in the first service. Keep in mind, Easter's coming in 2 weeks. It'll be our 18th year in existence. Absolutely. Every month we go, whew, we can do another month. And it's been that way for 18 years. We owe nobody. We're not in debt to anybody. And God has been faithful. That's why I'm telling you, I'm not asking for your money. But I am being honest with you on, are you giving? Giving faithfully. Listen, Scripture of Focus says this, 2 Corinthians verses 9, 6 through 7. This is very important. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Stop right there. I could use that scripture right now and I can manipulate it to make you feel bad in giving. And a lot of pastors have done that. A lot of pastors said, well, if you get a little bit, you're not going to get much. But if you give me more, God will give you more. You can't outgive God. Let me explain this to you. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying when you give, if you give out of obligation, you're not going to get much in return. But if you give out of generosity, if you get out of gratitude, God's going to keep pouring it. Now, I'm telling you, that's not the reason to give it. But I just know this. Whenever somebody obeys God, their life gets better. Have you experienced this?
Yes.
Yeah, you might get a raise because why? Well, you work good now. Have you ever had those people? Man, I hate working. I'm going to only do the little bit amount that I have to do not to get fired. That's not how God works. God says, you don't work for me and you work for me. So when you go to work, handle your business. Work for me, not your boss. And see what happens. Well, now look at me. Once again, I don't care if you live in a one-bedroom apartment or if you live in a six-bedroom mansion. It's not about that. It's about you being obedient to God. Here's the second part of that verse. It's the most important. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Pastor, how much should I give? I don't know. Why don't you talk to God about it? And you know what God does? God goes, let's look at your money. Let's look at your finances. All right, what are we doing here, right? And I'll tell you a story, and I hope my wife's going to be mad at me. It's fine. We married when we were 23, 24, something like that. I can't remember. It seems like forever ago. But we were broke. But we lived like we weren't broke. You know why? Because I had a lot of credit cards. So we put our wedding on credit cards. We went on honeymoon with my credit cards. And we did this with our credit cards and that with our credit cards. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, them credit cards have what they call a limit. And I remember I could not pay the minimum payments on my credit cards. Listen to this. We were $60,000 in credit card debt, period. We're not even talking about rent and we're not talking about cars. And I remember going to the bank, and if I'm lying, she'll tell you. I went to the bank with my Discover card to get cash off of it so I could pay my MasterCard. And it broke me. And we were broke. Guys, you want to talk about not feeling like a provider? Hey, honey, welcome to debt. Aren't you glad you married all this? I cut up our credit cards. We didn't know how we were going to make it. Had to stop the bleeding. So we searched and we got consult and we came to this decision. We're going to file bankruptcy. That's what we'll do. We'll file bankruptcy. And if you have, I'm not saying anything bad about you. This is just my story with me and my wife. That night, I cannot sleep. And when I finally do fall asleep, I have this dream. And I'm not going to be like, it was an inspired vision. It was just this dream where me and God were talking. And God was like, you're going to pay that money back. I said, no, Lord, I think we're going to go ahead and file bankruptcy. It's a lot easier. And God said this, and this is truth. They didn't make you spend that money. You did. You owe them. And do you trust me? Oh, yes, Lord, I trust you with everything. Then you're going to pay it back. And I woke up, and I'm not happy. And I look over at my beautiful bride, and she wakes up, and her hair's all jacked. And she looks at me, and I look at her, and she goes, did you sleep? I said, no, I had this dream that we're supposed to pay the money back. And she's like, he told me the same thing. Fine. I wish I could tell you that we went outside and praised God, and under a rock was a golden nugget. That was worth $60,000. No, it took us 8 years and we were broke. And when I'm telling you counting pennies, there was one, if I'm lying, I'm dying, right, honey? There was 1 week we had bread. Bread, that's all we had to eat. And I came home from work and she said, we're having turkey sandwiches today. I was like, turkey sandwiches? How'd you get the turkey? Man, praise, did it come from the sky? Did God... Is it come from the sky? And she takes me into the kitchen, and she had a cookie cutter that was the shape of a turkey. And she cut the bread and shaped so we had turkey sandwich, right? It was awesome. And we got done paying that whole thing back, and I'll never forget. I remember when we paid the first one off, and it just... And the whole thing was, in the midst of it, I'm still supposed to give to God. And that's when it didn't become an amount. It became about obedience. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers that are real simple. Okay, real simple. And I'm not asking you to do this. This is something. But I want to show you how effective it is when everybody gives in a church, just not a few people. When everybody buys in and says, I'm going to be obedient with worship and giving. If everybody in our church was to give $20 a week, we would never have financial troubles, ever. 20 a week? Gosh, Pastor, how many Starbucks you get? Right? I mean, how many monster drinks? Right? And it's not that you don't. Well, let's just be honest with ourselves. It's not that we can't. We just haven't prioritized. And to prioritize is to say, Lord, may I not forget you in giving you what is yours. Thank you for your provision and worship you in giving. Please don't give to pay the bills of the church. Yes, the donuts are not free. And the coffee that we have to make it strong for you guys. So we go through a lot of coffee. I don't care if it's 110 outside. You guys show up, it's like, where's the coffee? No, just give me the coffee grounds. That's fine. But don't do that for that. Do that when you come in here. And don't wait for the plate to cross to where you go, oh, man, hold on a second. Don't do that. Man, set it out. I wrote my checks yesterday. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your provision. And listen to me, there's a lot of you in this room that you've been given faithfully. Thank you. Thank you that you're worshiping God. And understand, here's what we do in our church if we have extra money. And many of you in this room not only know this, but have experienced it. We help people who can't help themselves. That's what we want to do. So once again, how much? That's between you and God. But the question is, give it faithfully. With a joyful heart. I want to end with this story. There was a pastor that when I was growing up in college, I really enjoyed him. And he was from this area. I'm not going to say his name. And he became very good at public speaking and giving sermons to the point many prominent churches would ask him to come speak. And when you go and speak, usually they have an honorarium for you. Okay? Which means they have a preconceived an idea of how much money they're going to give you. So it looks like this. Hey, can you come speak at our church? Yeah, I could come speak, but it's going to cost an honorarium and my expenses. Not a problem. And usually back then the expenses would have been they pay for their airfare and their hotel or their gas. And then they give them $1,000. He was good. I got an honorarium once. I think it was a corn dog from Allsup's and $5. I won at his level, but it was a great corn dog. So here's what happens. He gets a call from a church that he doesn't even know what the town is, because it's not San Antonio, it's not LA, it's not New York. And God is telling him, you need to go, you need to go. And he's fighting God on this. He's like, but God, I don't know where it is. And they're not talking to me about my honorarium. They just sent and said, hey, would you come speak? Sure. Great, we'll see you here at this time. And his thing was, how am I going to get there? We appreciate you coming. So he buys the airfare. He gets the rental car. And he's like, Lord, I don't want to do it. They're not being faithful to me. And God says, just keeps messing with them. You need to go. You need to go. So it comes to find out it is in a very small town in the sticks. And it's a small church of about 40 people, and it's pretty much like the redneck refuge, right? Some of us are like, we know. He is suited out. And the whole thing, he's going, well, God, I guess you just wanted this to cost me money, but I'll do this for you. Bless your heart. You get $1,000 every time you go speak somewhere. So he speaks, God moves. And it's a beautiful thing. And the 40 people there who are poor, they're very appreciative. Now, keep in mind, when you go to speak, a lot of times they give you their honorarium right up front so you get it out of the way. Well, he hadn't gotten his honorarium yet. And here's what the pastor did. The pastor brought a pedestal with a bucket on it. And he said, stand in front of it, pastor. He says, we're going to bless him today. And this is how the pastor did it. Come on, man. He called them out one by one. Go ahead. Go ahead. Can you imagine how scary that would be? Because there were some people in there that were like, I don't have. And he would like, your belt will be fine. Well, and there's people and they're giving cash because they came prepared. And he's like, Lord, I shouldn't be here. And God tells him, shut your mouth. My calling on your life, you have made it about money. And I'm here to teach you, if I tell you to do something, I will provide for you to do that. So just be obedient. So he is trying his hardest. He's fighting back tears. And when they got done, there was a farmer family that was sitting three rows back, overalls, torn up shirts, but they're buttoned to the top. And he could tell they were dirt poor. And he sees the dad nudging the little boy. And the little boy's doing this. And the dad's like, now. And he gets up and he walks up to the basket. And he puts two eggs on top of the money. And it broke that pastor. And he said to God, he said, God, please let me give all this money to that family. And God said, you shut your mouth. That's between me and my obedient son. I will take care of him. He has given what I have told him to give. That pastor has never asked for an honorarium, as far as I know at this point. And that's what money does. It makes us go to places that we don't want to go. It makes us worry about things we don't want to worry about. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Allen to come up. And if I was a good pastor, we'd get the plates out. Let's pass it around again. Hallelujah. We're not doing that. I'm not here for your money. What I am here to ask you, are you worshiping and giving? You are responsible to go to God and say, Lord, how much? And you and him come to it. And listen, you're not going to impress God, right? Don't sit there and say, well, Lord, I'll give $10,000 a month. Now, if he's calling you to do that, you better be faithful. Better be with your heart. And I promise you this. Your obedience is going to change your life. Amen. Not in just giving, but in everything we do. But let us not forget, giving is worship. Amen. Pastor Allen.
Let's stand together. I invite you to join us in prayer. Who do we pray to? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Father God, we do love you. Master, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is true. Thank you, God, that your mind is made up. The news is good. That you, God, your heart is bent to us. That your love for us is great, so great that you gave your only begotten Son. Master, that just believing in him, we have eternal life. We thank you, God, that you take care of all of our needs according to your riches and glory. That's what your word says. Thank you, God, that you call us to be faithful. Master, that we would put our whole hope in you, our trust in you. So God, guide us in that. Guide our hearts. Accomplish what you have in mind in us, that we would be, God, faithful to your kingdom, that you would be glorified in all that we do. Master, do let your kingdom come and your will be done. So God, bless and keep this your people. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to each of them and all of them. Turn again your countenance to us. Let the peace of your Holy Spirit be established, God, in this place, in these families, these homes. Well, thank you for it. We come in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus. It's in his name alone we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you all.